Hello and welcome to Ask Lynn. Today is April 3rd, 2017, and I hope everyone had a good, happy Fool's, April Fool's Day. And are moving forward. It's springtime, yay! And the weather is changing slightly, and things are beautiful. The flowers are blooming, and it's just gorgeous, I think, no matter where you are, unless you're on the other side of the world, of course, and you're heading into your winter. Anyway, without any further ado, I'm going to get started. There is a topic for this week, for the month, and I will be talking about that briefly and then answering your questions. Beloved Father, Mother God, divine source of all there is, thank you for this wonderful moment. We pray for true discernment in all things, where the veil of illusion is removed from our consciousness. Help us connect to divine mind and open to the reality of all possibility. Allow our spirits to expand in its expression so that we may speak the language of our hearts. We ask for your abundant guidance and continued grace, for which we are truly grateful. Amen. So the topic for this month is From Death is Life, From Failure is Success. And again, you know, I meditate on the topics, and it's interesting because when things present themselves, Spirit will say, this is what you need to speak about, or this is what you need to present as the topic for Ask Lynn. And I have talked often about the transition from death to life. I've not spoken about it from a place of failure to success, but they do go hand in hand, and it's very similar energies in that it's about transformation. The transformation from death to life is really a cyclical transformation that takes place. When a tree dies, if you will, then it actually decomposes like anything, even if it's a physical body. If it's left without being cremated or being embalmed, the body will decompose. Trees decompose. Animals decompose. It's a natural order of things once there is no longer life force that is moving through that body or that shell. And so from that, the place of that decomposing, life springs forth. If it's on the earth, it fertilizes the earth. It provides levels of nutrients that help to give life and support to seeds of all different kinds that then spring up when they are nurtured by the sun, by water, that sort of thing. And so from death, there's a transformation of life. Even from a standpoint of the spirit, when it leaves the shell of the body, it transforms and transitions into another body, the full light body, if you will, that is the soul, and that continues to evolve and continues to grow and learn and experience life in a new way, in a different way than it did when it was in the shell of the body. And so from death is life. Life that is renewed from a body or a shell that is left behind, whatever that body is. I'm not talking about just physical bodies now. I'm talking about any type of body. It dies. It provides nourishment. The energy is transformed. It helps support the life that comes or springs forth from it, very much like the phoenix that dies and falls prey to the ashes and then rises again in a blaze of glory, literally. And that's what happens to the spirit. It leaves the body behind and it rises into a blaze of glory and continues to move on and move forward. Well, that is, like I said, part of the cycle of you know, death to life. It's all forms of transition. It's moving from one state of consciousness, a consciousness that might be hell. You know, people live in hell where there's a lot of lack. No matter what I do, it doesn't work. Even if it's sunny for everyone else, I'm the one who has the rain cloud. It's the Murphy's Law syndrome. If you're not familiar with Murphy's Law, please look it up. But it has to do with, you know, if there's anything that can go wrong, it is going to go wrong, and it'll go wrong in my life, is part of the extension of that Murphy's Law. And so, you know, that's more of the hellish consciousness. In that thinking or that belief system also comes tremendous lower vibrational energies of depression, anger, you know, all sorts of things, frustration, resentment, on and on and on that takes place. And the transformation from that state of consciousness into a state of consciousness that's heaven, that is a real sense of emotional peace, of mental rest, of really seeing that everything in life is beautiful, is purposeful, that the lessons that one experiences, although they may not be the easiest of lessons, are still in gratitude and grateful for it because of what's learned. What springs forth from that lesson is so magnificent. Thank you that I did go through that. You know, that's a consciousness of heaven. And it also opens one up to the unconditional love, to peace, to joy, to all of those kinds of things. So that's another transition, moving from the consciousness of hell into heaven. And so I also wanted to talk about the fact that as we're talking about transformation and transition, there is a belief system that permeates throughout the world, really, that says if, you know, when I fail, it's a bad thing. When I do not succeed, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with how, you know, I went about this particular situation or this thing. There's something wrong with that thing. There's something wrong with the people over there. Whatever the case may be, we have been taught to believe that to fail means the end or means something disastrous or means that, you know, there's judgment placed on it is what I'm saying. There's a judgment that says there's some kind of lack that took place. The failure of this situation is because there was a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding, a lack of not being good enough, a lack of not being able to do the right thing, a lack of the people that needed to be involved, the lack of support, the lack, whatever it is, that's why it failed, because had I had what I needed or had I been a better person or a person who was smarter or whatever the case may be, I would not have failed. Well, the truth is to fail means to learn. To fail means to go through an experience that actually assists you in making an adjustment in order to then move into the success that you desire. There are so many different examples of this. Edison is one of them. You've heard me talk about that before, where he failed over 200 times to actually create the light bulb until he got a light bulb. He is noted as an inventor of many different things, including the television tube and the first recording device actually was from Edison, believe it or not. And many other things, which I don't remember all of his inventions. But the bottom line is this. Let's say that he invented 10 significant things, as significant as the light bulb. Those successes came from tens of thousands of failures, continuing to correct and correct some more. In essence, all energy, as you know, has form and has a purpose. And in order to have success means to learn how to shift energy, or to learn the nature of energy in how it naturally shifts and changes until such point you have the form or the purpose of that energy in the form that you consider success. And using Edison as an example, Benjamin Franklin, the same thing. He was an inventor, and Lord knows he failed a lot of times before he had success. You hear about basketball players like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and so forth, you know, and they'll say they're the greatest some of the greatest basketball players that ever lived. But, you know, for every basket that they got, for every shot that they made in the basket, they may have missed, you know, 25. Again, out of failure comes correction. And so every time an energy is formed and an energy has its specific purpose in that form, it may be for nothing more than to show you and to teach you that the desired result needs to still be tweaked a little bit. And where does it need to be tweaked? It might need to be tweaked here and tweaked there. And now let's try it. Okay, failure again. All right, so I know that it didn't work, you know, the way it did before or originally when I put this together. I tweaked it, and the way that I tweaked it, it still didn't work. So let me see. Do I need to tweak the situation, which could mean anything? It could mean bringing in additional support from outside because there are things you don't know. It could mean researching something. It could mean changing your demeanor and your energy when you speak to someone in terms of interviewing. It could mean any number of things. It might mean eating more vegetables than it does any other food in your diet, because that's what gives you the most energy and the most nourishment. It could mean anything, okay? But when you discover that you need to tweak something a little bit and for a desired result, but that's not totally working, then you have an opportunity to go, okay, well, the first attempt didn't work. The second time I changed some things, that didn't work. So let me think what else, you know, works in connection or combination with what I've already done. And as you go forward, and as you literally ask the question, what needs to be done for me to have success in this area, success in my health, success in my relationship, success in my career, success in being able to put together this problem, success in this invention, success in creating this situation, you know, whatever that is, what do I need to do for success? When you ask that question, your spirit is working on receiving the answer. And even when your spirit has the answer, it's working on assisting you and moving, if you will, out of the way all of the judgments you might have and all the feelings that go along with those judgments that keep you from receiving the answers that you need in order to have success. And so each one of those failures is an opportunity for you to just slightly tweak whatever it is you need to tweak and until you move into a place of success. Now, for example, losing weight, something I'm focused on at this point in time, losing weight and still maintain and becoming healthier and maintaining a good good health. Okay, and so I've tried various things and done various things, and there are 1,000 different kinds of diets and ways to eat and what's best for the body. And if you're the certain blood type and if you're a certain height and if you're a certain cultural person and, you know, if you have this genetic makeup and on and on and on, then this is what's best and don't do that and you should do more of that and all of these things. And I have tried various things, some of which I have had some success with, but not success to the extent that I really wanted to go fully. And why is that? Well, there were other things that came up either in my life that made it inconvenient to eat that way. There are factors that increase my stress level, which reverted back to comfort food. So there was still some adjusting and tweaking I had to do energetically within myself. You know, there were all these different things, but I have now found a formula that works for me, that is not like what my nephew's doing, who has had great success in a diet that he does that has really made his body strong. I will admit, it's phenomenal. He's doing an excellent job health-wise. But I can't do that diet because for me, it feels like it takes away from and drains my body and puts more weight on me than loses weight. But if someone was to do the process that I'm doing, it may not work for them. I'm using this as an example because even in something as simple as losing some weight, there's a process where sometimes you may go through a lot of failure in order to transition into success, in order to tweak what really works best for your body, for your consciousness, for your energy emotionally, psychologically, okay? And so that goes for everything that you do. Out of failure is success. And I will show you a person who I'm going to now say, and this is not a judgment call so much as I'm just painting a picture, but I would call a person a true failure, someone who does not attempt to go for what it is that they would like to experience fully. That's who I would call a failure. But a person who goes for it 100% and keeps going for it 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 some more and fails every time, that's a person I say is successful. That's a person I say will have tremendous success because they continue to forge ahead. The guy who started Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, that dude had a ton of failures over and over and over trying to come up with the right recipe until he did come up with the right recipe. And when he did come up with the right recipe, he was a grandfather. He was in his 60s, and he came up with a successful recipe. But for years, he was a chef or a cook or something, whatever. And he just kept working on the right formula for years and years and didn't have any success until he hit the recipe that we now know as KFC. So I'm not saying that you have to keep doing something forever and ever and ever, even if you keep failing at it. There is a point sometime where it's just best to let it go. But this is how you know when the failures you've had and you let it go is one that's leading to success. You know it when you have tried it so many times, you just say, right now, there's nothing I can do but just let it go. I'm not doing this anymore. It doesn't seem to be working. I've been failing. I don't know what the solution is. And you completely let it go. And then there's a spark that comes back for you to pick it up again. Or there's conversation or information that you gain in some way that sparks you wanting to, like, maybe use that new information and knowledge in what it was you had given up but tried so many times before. When you let it go completely and it comes back around, it comes up for you and in your face on some level, then you know that it's something that once you to give birth to it. You know that it's something that in your hands will be successful, is already successful. And why? Because you failed all those times. You let it go enough to receive and to move out of the way all of your judgments of yourself, the judgments you have of what you did or didn't do, so that now the answers can actually come to you. When you ask the question, Spirit will always deliver it to you. Spirit has the information, and it could be right there in front of you. But if you are, now I'm doubling back, if you have judgment about yourself or the number of times you failed or whatever you've done or haven't done correctly, then it may actually postpone that level of success because it can't get through. The information you're looking for, that little nugget, that tiny little piece, that less than a millimeter of a shift to the left, you won't be able to receive because you're too busy in the, oh, I'm a failure. So if you begin to shift your consciousness and understand that the only way for you to have success is by failing, then you can welcome the failures, say hallelujah for those failures, be in gratitude and joy over those failures because you know you are that much closer to success. And I can hear what you all are saying. Well, what about those people who just seem to have success right off the bat? Let's talk about somebody like Ivanka Trump, who hasn't seemed to struggle in her life, and, you know, her family was wealthy, and she was able to have everything, and they gave her everything, and that took care of it for her, and, you know, she had the money to do whatever she needed to do to dress well and to, you know, be all whatever it is she is and go to finishing school and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean that she has not had her own levels of failure. Would she ever show that publicly? No, and that's part of the problem with this dadgum programming that we have not only all over the world, but we really have in America, is this programming that if you don't succeed and you fail and you keep failing, that you must be a failure. And until you move out of that consciousness, you're not going to be able to receive the nugget that Spirit has for you in answering your question, what do I need to do? What's necessary in order for this to be a success? You're not going to get that nugget until you move all the other stuff out of the way. Now, I don't know the story fully of Ivanka Trump. It's just what came up in this moment. But I guarantee you this woman has had some level of failure. I don't believe that right off the bat, her jewelry line or clothing line, whatever it is that she has, made an immediate success because her dad had money. I have a feeling that she went through her own brand of failures. I have a feeling that things that she may have wanted to have go a certain way didn't necessarily smoothly, easily, effortlessly go that way. I guarantee you that in her business, there was some kind of failure that she had to experience. She's married to a guy that they seem, you know, from an outside view to be happy with, and it looks like the beautiful little family and all of that. But the reality is, how many relationships has she been in where the guys were less than perfect for her? Or where she failed at it because she chose the wrong kinds of guys for herself. And none of them seemed to be right. And then this dude comes along and she's like, okay, you know, this might be a plan. Not like any other woman on the planet. I'm sure he wasn't her first love and he was the perfect love and it was so easy and they got together. And I'm using this as an example because so often we look at people and situations outside of ourselves and we say, well, yeah, but they had this. Well, yeah, it was easier for them because they had that. Well, they didn't have to go through the struggle. They didn't have failure. But that's not true. There is no success without some level of failure. Even Trump has had financial success because of the failure of what happened in Atlantic City with that monstrosity casino when he went, quote unquote, bankrupt. Okay, now it might be on a much different level than you and I going bankrupt, but nonetheless, it was considered a monumentous failure. Yet, the one thing about Trump, with his narcissistic self, is that he saw it as a great success. And indeed, for him, it was, because the banks bailed that project out in many ways. And although he did go bankrupt and lost over $1 billion, he was still a man who had unmasked and been able to salvage some millions from it so that he could rebuild. And did he learn from that? You bet he learned from that. So his other projects moving forward were successful. So I'm just pointing these things out to you because part of a transition from failure is success. Don't be afraid to fail. Embrace it. Give thanks for it. Be in gratitude. Ask what it is you need to do in order to have success. And then move all of the judgment that you have out of the way about the project, about yourself, about everyone and everything around it. Step back. Let spirit reveal to you what needs to be revealed. And then you move forward into that success. Okay? All right. So now I'm going to answer email questions. And then after that, I will take your live questions. All right. So here's the first question. It was a nice, bright, sunny weekend. I was able to spend some time outside, and it felt really good. On Saturday, I was all set up to barbecue in the yard, and my brother came over to see my mom, and he brought several friends with him. I had a really good look at my brother, and I was overwhelmed with the dry, bad-looking skin, his loss of 50 pounds, his pants dropped below his butt, and barely being held with a belt. He had that old street drug look, like Samuel Jackson in Jungle Fever. Okay. His friends looked no better. I couldn't wait for them to leave. I reflected on my brother after he left. I thought I saw the dead walking. I wanted to explode. I wanted to cry. I held it all in. All my energy was drained. Everything I cooked that day was messed up. I was exhausted and buried myself in a book and finally went to bed. I tossed and turned and dreamed about my brother. I woke up with my entire body aching. I woke this morning asking God, take him one way or the other, recovery or dead. I know everything about addiction and recovery. The person has to make a choice for themselves. My choice is not to be codependent or an enabler. My brother is 54, has been in drug recovery programs at least 8 times in a methadone program, in and out of jail, shot, stabbed, and ran over by a car. Why at this point am I having this reaction to my brother? Okay. You're having a reaction to your brother right now, really, because you first of all, you love him. But beyond loving him, you have grown and you are no longer in a space where you want to be the savior. You've come to a place where you recognize within yourself that the only person that you're interested in saving is you. And you have been able to see your brother with new eyes from a fresh perspective. It doesn't, even with everything you're saying, it does not sound like or look like you love him any less or you want or you wish him, you know, to be harmed or to be hurt. But what you are reacting to is being able to disconnect from him. Being able to disconnect, let me say not from him, but being able to disconnect from how he's choosing to live his life. It's not the same path that you're on. And although he's your biological brother, It doesn't mean that you have to be, in this case, your brother's keeper. Not when he chooses to do harm to himself. I believe it's painful for you to watch, and you are at a point where you're working on your own health, you're working on becoming stronger within yourself, and you don't want to be a savior. Now, I'm sharing this with you, and I'm going to share with everyone on the call. It does not pay to be a savior. What you can do is support people with where they are, and then you have to make the choice from a place of neutral whether you choose to be around the person and that energy or not. You can still support someone by not being around an energy that is self-destructive and is ready to explode or implode. You can choose the best way to support them by simply not being around them and not providing whatever they believe they have to have in order to keep going. Not when you know what they think they have to have to keep going is really the very thing that's harming them. Okay? You can love the person unconditionally. You can provide support in so many different ways depending on the situation with that individual. It might mean sometimes calling authorities. It might mean needing to sign certain papers. It might mean letting them completely self-destruct while you watch, because you can be ready to make a phone call or to do something that you know will be able to assist on a level that you can't to, you know, help them be in a better situation. And at this point, with your brother having been in rehab in and out 8 times plus jail, he has pretty much demonstrated and told you exactly how he chooses to live his life. He is involved and saturated in the lifestyle. He even has friends who are part of that lifestyle. And what you had a chance to do was see with your eyes wide open that no matter what you do and no matter how you assist him in this life, that he's making the choices he's making, which means it's important for you to make whatever choice you decide to make. And in this case, it looks like you're deciding to make a choice that does not enable him on any level. It's interesting because there are several people right now who have spoken to me about family members that seem to be very painful for them to watch because of how they're choosing to go down a path that's not healthy for them and not good for them. And so all you can do is love them unconditionally and make the choice of how you choose to interact with that person. But saving them because you think you can make the difference, you're the one who can really help them, you're the one who will sacrifice to make it better for them. Oftentimes, they don't recognize it that way. They're living their life, doing what they want to do, the way they need to do it. And so if it doesn't work for you, ultimately, it's not working for them. If giving them money doesn't work for you, it's not ultimately working for them. You might be helping them miss a lesson or skirt for that moment a place of them being in failure that they can learn from so they can have their success. You know, if you continue to try to drag and pull someone into a situation that you think would help them live a better life, that may be the very hell that they are so badly trying to avoid, even though you see it as being as moving into heaven, that they're going to fight you every way. And what happens? Then your consciousness shifts into hell because it's so painful, challenging, and everything that you would not necessarily like to experience in your life. So the best way then to move out of that savior consciousness and energy is to simply do what best supports you in the way that you choose to live, the way you choose to move forward, and your consciousness. And when you choose to do that, you will be supporting that person 100%. You will allow them to go through failure in order to have success, and that's the best way that you can love them and take all judgment off of whatever state that they're in. Okay? All right. Here's the next question. I would like to know if my mom has a message for me.
Does anyone have sound? I called back and I still don't hear anything.
Okay, so I'm assuming everyone can still hear me. I apologize for the delay. My phone actually hung up on me. Anyway, so what I was saying is that if there is basic wear and tear, basic, like when a tenant moves out, yes, you're going to have to repaint it if they've been there for a long time. That's not necessarily something that's on the tenant. But if there are holes in the wall that weren't there before, if there is carpet that's so badly spotted and ruined because they had a pet or something like that, that you have to replace it, those are the kinds of things where it's damage, if you will, due to the tenant being there that would not give them their deposit back. But if it is, like, for example, you say the kitchen floor is damaged. If it was damaged because a stove was drug across the tile floor and it scratched it up, that sort of thing. But if it's basic wear and tear because the floor has been down for 35 years and it's time to replace it, that's not going to be something that you can necessarily use a tenant's deposit to do. So using an attorney is very smart, because an attorney will help you really sort through exactly what is an item based on what's needed to be done in the place because of the tenants versus what's basic wear and tear that a landlord should replace. Other than that, Spirit is not giving me anything specific that really needs to be done in reference to this situation. Okay. All right. Okay, let me answer the next question. I entered this photo into a prestigious photo contest call at Communication Arts 2017 photography competition a few weeks ago. They sent out an email saying that 665 entries were shortlisted from the 3,736 entries submitted. I submitted two images, and this one was on the shortlist. The winners will be notified by the end of this week. How does it look for me and this image? And the answer is, it looks like they will select your image. There's nothing else that I can say about that, but they will select the image. And it's good for you, and again, I want to say this to many people listening, to do everything that you can to continue to market, to promote yourself. So everything that is in your industry, and this goes for whatever industry you happen to be in out there, for everything in your industry, it is important to try many different avenues, many different things, which is why meditation is important, because in meditation you're going to be given ideas, or you will be presented with opportunities. You will have your eyes open for situations that can help propel you forward. Now, it doesn't mean that you may not, quote-unquote, fail in it, even if you're given that information in meditation, even if the opportunity presents itself because you've attracted it to yourself. It doesn't mean that it may not be something that results in what's called a failure, okay? But remember, that failure can help you to learn and to move into a place and a consciousness that actually represents success. And therefore, that being said, it will definitely help you to be able to move forward. But in this case, the question that you're asking, it will be one of the photographs chosen. So good job for putting out there and doing everything necessary to market yourself and to make what you're doing as successful as possible. All right, next question. My question is about a settlement that I'm supposed to get after a car accident when I was rear-ended 2 years ago. It has taken forever to get the case finalized to this point, but I still haven't seen a demand letter from the attorney's office. Just wondering if it will be completed in 2017. Okay. Yes, it looks like it will. It's really, it's a skirting issue. Somewhere between November of this year and February of next year is what I'm seeing. You know, typically I don't like giving dates, but it looks like it will be toward the end of this year that you will end up getting that letter. And, of course, I know you're wondering in terms of how much it might be. I'm not getting an exact amount. All I can say is continue to whatever you need to do to put money away. It's not going to be a huge, huge amount, but it's going to be enough that the insurance company will cover most of it. There might be something that you'll have to come out of pocket for it. The amount you come out of pocket for is a drop in the bucket compared to what the insurance will settle for, but you'll be able to handle that amount. Just continue to put away what you can for preparation of whatever the amount is for the suit. That's the best way I can answer that question. Okay. All right. Let's see. What do you suggest for me to be more energetically open to an easier method of income and more flowing? Well, that's a question that many people are asking. And so, you know what I say really I think can work well is when you're wanting to have a new flow or form of income, okay, and you're wanting the ideas or the information to flow or the opportunities to even open up to present themselves, the best thing that you can do is simply just ask the question. I'm big on asking spirit questions. What do I need to do in order to have an easy method of income flow? What can I, what do I choose to experience in order to receive an abundant income flow? And when you ask that question, then you have to let it go. What most people tend to do is keep dwelling and thinking about it. Well, maybe it should be this. Well, maybe it should be that. Well, I could do this. Well, I like doing that. Well, I don't know about this. Maybe that. Oh, somebody mentioned this. Maybe that's a good idea. The best thing to do is ask the question, do what you're doing, and then let go of forcing the answer. Let go of thinking about it. Let go of trying to guess what it might be. Let go of trying something on for size. And again, you can do the process of, like I said, going through what seems to be failures in order to get to the success. My husband and I, were looking for an additional form of income. There are some things we wanted to do and accomplish. And there were a couple of opportunities that were presented to us. We took a look at each one. We went to meetings. We spent a lot of time on them. We, didn't spend any financial resources, but we spent a lot of time considering, looking at, going to meetings, going back and forth, attending different things, inviting other people, just a lot of time and energy. Only to realize, this is not at all what works for us. This is not something that we resonate with. This is not an easy flow of income. And so at that point, we completely let it go, like completely, to the point where it's like in the back of our minds, we were thinking, we'd like to do something, but we didn't even talk about it after that. It was just like, oh, well, we just have to let it go and just keep moving forward with what we're doing and so on and so forth, until a friend of mine made a suggestion about something. Actually, she didn't even make a suggestion to me. She made a comment. And her comment was, you know, why can't people build widgets? It wasn't that, but it was something else. And I'm like, huh, sounds like a business to me. She said, yeah, it would be a dynamic business. And then she said, if that's something that you think you'd like to do, you know, she said, I'll talk to you about it some more or help you with the IT side of it or whatever. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I didn't think anything more of it. But after a couple of months, and this is when you have failures and it moves into success, it continued to stay with me. I wasn't focused on it. I didn't keep thinking about it. But it would just pop up from time to time. And I'm like, that sounds like that really could be something viable. And then I talked to my husband about it. And he said, yeah, that sounds like that could be something. And so we talked about it, he and I, back and forth. He did some research. I did some research. We can, you know, then we'd let it go. Then we'd revisit it a week or 2 weeks later. And then I said, you know, have you thought any more about this particular business and what could happen? And he said, yeah, I think we should do this. And he laid it out. And I was like, well, I'll be doggone if that's not a phenomenal idea. And no one in this country is doing it like that. It's a great business plan. And it's something that's viable. It's something we know about. And it's something that we can do and share together. And it could be a legacy for our kids. Great idea. I'm not sharing what that is right now with you all because it's something that he and I are still working on and birthing, if you will. So once it's launched, you will all be made aware of it. But it's what I call the, you know, going through the failures of looking at ways to, you know, have additional income. And for both of us, it's also about our retirement, you know, at 85, whenever we retire. And knowing that it's very viable and sustainable for us and what our needs are and our lifestyle. And so I'm mentioning this because we, you know, put the question out there and then we kind of let it go. There were opportunities that came up. We spent a lot of time with it, but all the time we spent was time we could have been doing something else. They didn't pan out, so those were like the failures. But then here's an idea that wasn't really taken hold strongly, but wouldn't go away. And as we just flowed with it, rather than kept beating our heads about how we could do it and how it should be, flow with it, the answers came. So this process is something that has happened for us over now about 7 or 8 months. And that may seem like a long time, but there is a flow. And it might be another 6 months before it's actually launched, maybe longer. I don't know. We'll have to see how all the paperwork and everything pans out. But nevertheless, it's a process. And in that process, we're real clear that it's something that is leading to how we would like to experience moving forward in our lives and accomplishing all of the goals and hitting all the markers that we would like to hit. Now, are we going to experience some levels of failures and tweaking and all of that as we do this? I'm sure we will. But we will also be in gratitude for the fact that it's moving us closer to success until we are really where we want to be. Okay? So that's the best way that I can answer that question. Take it in those stages. Ask the question, let it go, and allow yourself to receive the messages that are there for you in order to do it. Okay. All right. I know looks like we're going to go over time. I apologize for this, but I want to try to get everyone's questions in now because I will be out of town. I will be out of town for the next week. All right, so if anyone does have a live question they want to ask, then please hit star 6 and you can ask me the question. Okay, and I hope I didn't lose anyone because of that pause on the phone. All right, so I'm going to go ahead with the meditation right now, and then we'll be done. So if everyone will please close your eyes, have your back straight, hands in your lap, feet on the floor, and imagine you're sitting on top of a tree trunk with the roots of the trunk going all the way down to the center of the earth. And you are securely planted on top of this tree trunk and see a great big, beautiful pyramid that is surrounding you. You are sitting in the middle of this pyramid with base points to the front, right, and left, one in the back, and the other point is above your head. And being in the middle of this pyramid, take a couple of deep breaths, and as you breathe deeply, just allow any stress to leave your body at this time. Breathing from the tips of your toes all the way up through your spine to the top of your head, and exhale. And another nice deep breath from the tips of your toes all the way up through your spine, and exhale again. And put your attention at the top point of the pyramid that represents your spirit body. And see that point is a beautiful pearlescent golden light shining very, very brightly. And it's so bright and so luminescent. It just continues to get brighter and it expands and moves into the pyramid. This represents your spirit body. And put your attention on the base right point of the pyramid and see it also as a pearlescent golden light, very, very bright. Very good. And that represents your mental body, and see that light expanding and getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Very good. Filling up everything in that pyramid, including you. And now put your attention on the base left point of that pyramid. That represents your emotional body. And see that point also is a beautiful pearlescent golden light, very, very bright. Very good. And let that expand into the pyramid and engulf everything in the pyramid, including you. And now put your attention on the back base pyramid, which represents your physical body. And see that point is a beautiful pearlescent golden light, also getting brighter and brighter and more expansive as it moves into the pyramid. And now I want you to put your attention at your heart And as I say the affirmation, allow these words to go into your heart, completely penetrating it. And then allow your heart to begin to emanate a beautiful pale pink golden light that moves throughout your entire body. So here's the affirmation. Let those words penetrate into your heart and then release a pale pink golden light from your heart throughout every cell of your body. I transcend the fear I've held on to. I transfer the fear I've held on to. To the brilliant light of love. I transcend fear I've held to the brilliant light of love. I transcend the fear I've held to the brilliant light of love. So let that affirmation go into your heart and completely permeate your heart and then expand into this beautiful pale pink golden light throughout every cell of your body. I transcend the fear I've held to the brilliant light of love. And continue to breathe. And now see a pale blue light emanating from your heart. This is the yang. And see this light permeating from your heart, pale blue light permeating from your heart and expanding into every cell of your body, throughout every single cell. Very good. So that your body is completely fused, your physical body that's connected to your emotional and mental and spiritual bodies. You've been infused with the pale pink golden light and now the pale blue golden light, balancing this energy in your space. And as you breathe deeply, take a breath from the tips of your toes all the way up through your spine to the top of your head. And exhale nice and easily. And inhale again. And as you do, see a golden circle of light coming up from behind you and going up over your head from underneath your feet, behind you, over your head. And exhale and see that a golden circle of light continue to go down in front of you, back underneath your feet. And inhale and see this circle of golden light coming up behind you and over your head. Exhale, see it going down in front of you, back underneath your feet. So you have a beautiful golden circle of light as you inhale and exhale. And inhale again and see a golden circle of light coming up from underneath your feet on the left side and up over your head. Exhale, see it going down in front of you, back underneath your feet. And again, inhale as it comes up the left side over your head. Exhale, it goes down the right side, back underneath your feet. So now you have two beautiful golden circles of light moving from back to front and left to right. And I want to thank you for being with me on Ask Lynn. For more information about me and about the events and things that are happening with Center of Light Miracles, go to centeroflightmiracles.org. If you want to know more about me, you can go to the About page. If you want to know more about the services, you can go to the Services page. And if you want to know more about some of the other things that we offer, go to the Live Events page, and under the Current Events drop-down tab, you'll be able to read about it and take advantage of everything that we have to offer. Until next week, be at peace, stay in joy, and always love.